Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 1137. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
I have been up to my eyeballs in news that I do not feel like broadcasting into this microphone. So we will check those items at the door.
Yeah.
And move along to because of those, I did not watch a whole lot of professional wrestling in the past week, but I did manage to get back to my house here in Columbus in time to watch the Elimination Chamber. It's the road to WrestleMania. We are going to be in attendance, so it seems like a good idea to be riding along on that road to WrestleMania because I think we've talked about it. There definitely has not been a lot of ahead of time planning, or at least it does not feel like it. Even at this juncture, honestly.
No, there really doesn't. Only one match feels like it's got any real planning to it. That match is obvious. Yeah, this
Yeah, we will get to
it's been a
that one
it's
much
been it's
later in
been a
the
yeah, we'll get to that much later in the show. And
show.
I was thinking about it. You know what? Let's maybe start there a little bit. Because you brought it up. As Roman Reigns was walking down to the ring on Monday night, I just had this idea that this thought just hit my head, like Roman Reigns is like the one guy who just is just doesn't is not gonna stand for any bullshit in his storylines. Look, this is what we're doing, that's it. We're not deviating, we're not doing nothing. This is the one person the one person left in wrestling who can tell the office no or anything of that sort, just or just say, hey, this is what we're doing and that's it. Because everything else is just so it's so disheveled. We can start with this women's chamber. It was set
Sure.
up in a way that everyone knew Rhea Ripley was winning this thing. Like, just
Well,
look at everyone in the match, and it's just like you need someone with some size to go after Jade Cargill. And the only other person who could possibly fit that bill is Tiffany. And then you realize, yeah, they'd already done Tiffany. So, and Rhea, needs a big match at WrestleMania, and she had already lost the tag team championships the night before. So she gets her rebound moment, and she gets back on track for singles glory. Yeah, but we've done no well. I was gonna say we've done no work to set any kind of a table for Rhea Ripley and
no.
Jade Cargill. But instead, but Rhea Ripley and Jade Cargill have done that for the writing team, and apparently also and just completely taking it amongst themselves to really kickstart this thing.
Chelsea Green and Piper Niven also weighing in on this situation. Only to help pour a little bit of gasoline on this
Yes,
situation.
yes, 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 yes. As in case people don't know, Rhea and Jade started off innocently enough, going back and forth, Twitter banter, we'll still call it, and then just gradually got a little more heated, a little darker, until Jade Cargill made an accusation of Rhea Ripley complaining to the writing team. Apparently, I did not actually see that one. And then Rhea Ripley finally having to respond, this isn't fun. You don't know how to, basically telling her you don't know how to work. And it's just, yeah. Now, of course, in these situations, you don't know what's real, what isn't, what's at work and what's at work and what's a shoot. You can't be too sure because you'll get we are coming into this match cold, and now we've got some controversy. Now, granted, you don't want to use the word writers or anything of the sort. When trying to do it work still, although it has happened in Vince Russo, at least in Vince Russo written promotions, it did.
Oh boy, yeah, we do definitely do not need to relive those days.
No. So we are left very similar to the women's championship match last year, where we are being led to believe that maybe the two participants have some real heat with each other.
Yeah, they like you said, like the things got a bit strong there between the two. So yeah, it's kind of interesting. I don't feel like it's the same type of personal that Charlotte Flair and Tiffany
No.
Stratton was last year. But it is a it's definitely personal yet again here. Like the ladies can really just go for it in this situation sometimes. And oh boy, they really did.
They do, and it does seem that there can be some heat on Jade Cargill. She does have the type of personality that leads her into these situations. There is definitely, some evidence of that. Apparently, and somewhere in the Observer text on this situation, I think something of a bombshell might have been dropped that during Jade's time off last year, that they explained away with her being thrown through a windshield, she wasn't hurt or anything at all. They literally didn't needed to get her out of that locker room because she was bringing so much heat on herself.
Yeah, that was a very interesting point in the article that could go
Yeah.
undersold. Yeah, it's again, it goes with the hey, this is wrestling, so you can never completely believe
Right.
anything,
Yeah.
but boy, she was off TV for a long time, and it almost seems unnecessarily. Like it's one thing to have a Roman Reigns like schedule when you're Roman Reigns. As impressive as Jade Cargill is, she doesn't have that tight level of establishment to
No,
be
she
able to
doesn't.
duck out like that to me.
Yeah, that is,
So
yeah. That's
I just
something definitely
felt like
interesting to
feel like
know.
it's
Yeah.
her brand has not, everyone kind of thought that it was just going to be a home run with the WWE, and I it's hard to say how much the Bianca injury just
Yeah.
completely killed like all of this.
Oh, I,
Honestly,
yeah, that's a great point. That there's almost no way in my mind if Bianca wasn't healthy that she wouldn't be in this match with Jade Cargill. And they were probably until, January or so, still maybe even February here, still hoping it was possible. I'd imagine because because again, we've had little things here and there. I mean, hell, they've done once or twice of Jade and Rhea, meeting in a hallway or whatever.
oh,
They've done multiple. They've done even
yeah, they've
more than
teased
that.
it for sure.
They've done more than those kind of teases with Jade and Charlotte. At a certain point, maybe they're just trying to test out which match they wanted to go with. And then as the reality of Bianca's, situation is, she's gonna be, on the mend, but it's just not. It she's just not gonna be ready enough
Oh,
to a championship match at
WrestleMania.
WrestleMania.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean Jade Cargill, it's crazy to think that her debut is almost exactly 5 years ago, probably this week or so. I think it was somewhere in there, March 2021, when they were still at Daily's place, but letting in more people and all that. She has logged an amazingly small amount of ring time in 5 years.
Oh.
The Goldberg book, the Goldberg push in AEW, various times where she was off TV for weeks, if not months at a time. WWE, delaying her debut some, putting her in a lot, of course, putting her in a lot of tag matches at first.
Oh,
And
yep.
then, she gets a singles run, but she then wins the women's championship in a squash, in basically a squash over Tiffany. Doesn't defend the title for 3 months until that
Oh
match with until that match with Jordynne
my
Grace.
God. Wow.
When if every if of anyone in WWE, she needs the ring time more than anybody else.
Yeah, that's why in some ways, because that was the Barb to me that I saw online that seemed the worst was Piper Niven giving Jade Cargill the oh, just put you in the ring long enough and you'll just expose yourself. And I'm just like, yeesh.
Yeah.
I'm
Oof.
like,
Yeah,
I like that's one of those also moments where you're like, hey ladies, you might be getting a little too close to the actual point here.
Yeah. I mean, and yes, this match at
But
WrestleMania is without a doubt the most important match of Jade Cargill's life. If this thing bombs, she's getting all the blame for it. Typically the veteran does maybe in a situation like this, but no. If the pitchforks are already out for her, especially in regards to her work and her work ethic, oof. Yeah, she better come prepared for this one, or they better just script this thing out, move for move. With Michael Hayes or whoever does that nowadays, and just make sure this thing is just completely tight and on point.
Yeah, it's a really weird it's already set up a really weird dynamic for the situation.
It is, and of course it's with two people who on television have rarely had any interaction at all.
Yeah, like you said, like they've had both Rhea and Charlotte have had the kind of size up
Yeah.
moment with Jade, but that's no one's really taken it any further than that.
Yeah.
So yeah, like you said, like and boy, they really could go 0 to 90 on TV here if they carry over the
You know
Twitter
what?
beef.
It might need it, because there this I mean, we've already got in the big men's championship match. We're shooting our way through that one too. So, we got to do what we got to do to get these to get this take some fucking heat on this shit.
Yeah, I mean, they've got a month and a half to, I guess add to the card because what we did have CM Punk and Roman Reigns already. I suppose was it last Monday that, or was it 2 Mondays ago that Liv Morgan picked Stephanie Vicaire?
It was a week
Because
ago
it's
from this past
before,
Monday. But
okay, yeah, it's before
Last
Elimination
night,
Chamber.
neither of them appeared before the crowd to do anything. Yeah, Stephanie Vaquer wasn't there at all, and Liv was only backstage.
Oh yeah, and she did. Yeah, she had a video package too, I
Yeah, a
believe.
video package, and then she was with the rest of Judgment Day, yes.
Yep. Okay. Okay. So yeah, we did have Liv and Stephanie as one of the other only other matches officially on the WrestleMania card.
Yes.
I'm trying to think was the other no, because the other yeah, Rhea was the next matchup to be determined since that was Elimination Chamber. And then yeah, we had the other Elimination Chamber match, the men to determine that other championship match. Because I guess I was just trying to think. So we had had a two match build so far. I guess with Elimination Chamber, we've always kind of waited on one storyline or
Yeah,
two storylines
we've
here.
waited, but really starting with last year, we really got this is 2 years in a row now where we they haven't used the Royal Rumble to jumpstart any real to really jumpstart any storylines. They things th things weren't there are years that sometimes as early as SummerSlam, you can start to see some direction for WrestleMania going. A lot of and a lot of years by Survivor Series, you see it. You start seeing the real teases. One of Triple H's worst habits is he likes to tease multiple things out in a short period of time, and only one of them ever ends up actually happening. Case in point, this women's titles situation, because I don't know when the hell we're ever gonna get Jade Cargill versus Charlotte Flair. He loves his moments where people just pass in the hallway, have a little look, or even in the aisleway, sometimes even in an in-ring promo. But at the end of the day, those two never end up actually in a big match together. I could probably run down a pretty good list over the last couple of years of when he's done that, and it's really it is undisciplined, and it is not it is kind of disorganized and whatnot.
Yeah, somewhere along the line, the long-term planner that they hired got lost in the shuffle. And injuries always play a part in this. And I did think that it was kind of interesting where he had built in enough of those and/or situations where he kept on being able to cover himself. With the or, when one of the people got injured, and for whatever reason, it just hasn't really worked out that way recently with the either or-ness that he has been working with.
No,
I
and
don't
that
know
is a great
if
term for it. Yes.
it's just
Yeah.
so, yeah, it's just kind of a really, like you said, like yeah, Triple H doesn't seem, for whatever reason here, these last couple of WrestleManias, as organized for whatever.
No, he's just not sticking to a direction at all. He's just shown it just a just said it's just kind of undisciplined. It's like he's better at planning out his five match, special B show specials than he is at building to the big to the big shows. Because I think SummerSlam had less issues than this, but yeah, it seems like around fall, early winter, he does not, he has not been able to keep to a direction at all, and it's definitely leading to problems. And well, I mean, even the rest of the Elimination Chamber of the women's, we got nothing with we got nothing with the with five of the participants to really give them any direction or start a feud for any of them to take into WrestleMania.
Yeah, I guess I was trying to think because they did at least kind of set something up for the men, but there really was not anything with the women that really stood out to me
Yeah, no.
that screamed. Because, yeah, that is the other thing that, yeah, well, yeah, for all the badness that Vince had. The long-term planning from Royal Rumble to WrestleMania was always spot on. The other like 8 months of the year were erratic as all hell.
Yeah, so it's still most of his years they pulled together between Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. Maybe, as you said, they might even start some things as early as maybe Survivor Series, for the bigger stuff that they were 100% committed to. Again, there was a commitment to certain ideas. Vince is one of the most Obviously, Vince McMahon, one of the most headstrong human beings who ever walked the face of this earth, and he was, you know what? He was the be all end all boss of his world. Triple H is not. He has quite a number of people ahead of him, whispering in his ear, telling him
Yeah.
Well, and now, of course, the world we live in, everything's about the analytics, and there's people analyzing everything, every moment of every show, of every of social monitoring and all that, social media monitoring, all that kind of stuff. It's just like, okay, this segment didn't do well with women in their 30s, so now we have to
Yeah, we got to
change our
pivot this
direction.
way.
Yeah, there's of course we've talked about all about the attendance woes for WrestleMania and everything, but yeah, but even without that, last year that they had none of these problems with the attendance. I mean, I'm the first year in Vegas did of course did was a smashing success, and technically this year will also be a smashing success because they've already made a shit ton of money, even if they've only sold less than 40,000 tickets, but and the problems, the same problems this year have pl plagued last year, and it's being unfocused, and outside of maybe your big one or two matches, nothing else feeling like it's really that big and popping that huge. So yeah, it's definitely a little disappointing, but to get back around to Rhea and Jade, it's an intriguing enough match. I mean, they will look standing across from each other, they will look fantastic. It's a visually appealing, scenario they've sorted out here. It's just, filling in the content pieces in terms of, the angles each week and the match and having a quality match itself.
Trying to think if this is the second biggest match, but I'm not sure if it is or not.
I mean, I think the two championship matches still as well. Not to disparage the women, but maybe whatever Brock Lesnar ends up doing can feel like a top level deal. Whatever happens with Seth, it, but the big women's matches, of course, all in there. I mean, it's typically they still do seven matches each night, so it's a 14 match whole weekend. So we've got a lot still to
plenty
go,
of
and
slots. It's not the five. Yeah, when you move from five to seven matches, it frees up a little bit of feud time.
Absolutely, and then spread another seven across a whole second night. You've got some time, and you've got quite a bit to work with. And with the women, there's got to be like an idea in Triple H. Hell, it's the in my head. It's like once you resolve what your major singles matches are going to be, you can just throw a dozen women essentially into the tag team mix and do some kind of big, clusterfuck there.
It really was interesting that in the Elimination Chamber, like almost everyone involved was in a tag team not that long ago.
Yeah, and some of them still are, yeah.
Rhea Ripley only one to get out of that orbit for sure. I don't know. Guess there's still the outside chance that we end up getting Raquel and AJ at WrestleMania? Question mark.
There? I don't think so. I mean, okay, let's move on to the next match. Yes, AJ Lee defeats Becky Lynch for the Women's Intercontinental Championship. They do a finish that involves, Becky trying to cheat and referee Jessica Carr stopping her, but then, but cheating, I should say, cheating by use of an exposed turnbuckle. And but Becky ends up hitting the turnbuckle. AJ gets her in the widow's, what's it called? Like, what does she call that? It's a tarantula. What does she call her finish?
Not the widow's
Some
peak, is
something spinner, something spider related, I
it?
know.
Got to roll down because I clearly neither of us remembers
I don't remember, and she just did
the actual match or the actual name there.
Black
Black
Widow.
Widow.
Okay, it is
Jeez.
the Black Widow. Okay, yes, I knew it was spider related. Yes, Because that's how she,
Slaps
that's what she
that
does. She
forehead
just
on
crawls around
microphone.
her opponent like a like a spider. It's a decent. It's always been a good visual, and it's now made Becky Lynch tap out 3 times. Becky Lynch, who will of course ha already has her complaint about Jessica Carr getting in getting her way and having a conspiracy against her. So yeah, she has her. Yeah, that's why I'm thinking that. I know next week's match on Raw is a six-way, not six-way, a six-woman gauntlet to determine AJ Lee's first challenger. Yeah, I guess you said Raquel's in that match, and you know a
Oh,
number of other
yeah.
women are. And could I see Raquel winning that? Absolutely. Do I think that match will happen on Raw instead of at WrestleMania? Yes, as well, because I do think that yes, we're probably getting a Becky Lynch gimmick match. And because, you know, all of her attempts to cheat got thwarted, we'll likely get some type of anything goes type match at WrestleMania there.
Yeah, it would be interesting if Becky Lynch finally breaks the
Yes.
schneid at
Yes, and the
WrestleMania, if
and
that ends up happening.
yeah, that very well could happen. And you know what? It'd be the only match on WrestleMania that has a long-term build to it. Really?
It definitely felt like they were gonna build somewhere to this matchup. And yeah, they haven't really had a proper blow off yet.
No. I mean, the match was just the match at
You know,
Elimination
we
Chamber
got
was
it.
designed to build a return.
Yeah, because we got a tag match, one singles match.
And war games in between.
Oh, yeah, war games in between. So, you know, yeah, we definitely have more rope left for a singles matchup here. So yeah, I would be like you said, like that would be one of the few long-term build parts. Speaking of long-term build, Chris, we had generally been aware of a crate being moved between SmackDown and Raw over the past couple of weeks. There came a rumor out that Mr. Danhausen's contract was ready to be up with AEW. Some people on the internet started to do some math, and people were like, "Nah." And that is what we did end up getting
That is
was.
what we ended up getting. Now, the clues that it was actually going to be Danhausen and not anything major, and that kind of sprinkled in over the last day or so, and then they essentially confirmed it. I think WWE. Oh shit! These people are going to think Chris Jericho's in that crate, and it's not. So let's kind of leak this the story already. Leak out that Danhausen is free of AEW, and let's. Oh, wonder of wonders! The news comes out on this very day. So
Yeah,
yeah, it's.
it comes out before Elimination Chamber airs. Like, how convenient.
I think dude, we did try their best to not have a gobbledygooker moment here. And I think people who are calling it a gobbledygooker moment are exaggerating a bit. I didn't hear that much hatred from the crowd. It was, you know, confusion from people who've never seen this man before in their lives, and you know, booing from people who maybe did, but you know, they wanted to be fucking Chris Jericho. That's pretty much it. Jericho was ruined. This Jericho thing is ruining any attempt at a surprise that they're thinking of. So somebody needs to blink here and just say either he needs to show up or not, or someone needs to say he's not coming. Whether it's Triple H, whether it's Jericho himself, whether it's Tony Khan, somebody needs to say this cannot happen. He cannot come in. He is not coming in. He can't.
I mean, because I feel like Jericho has kind of let it out there that it's a possibility still. Like, I don't see a lot
Oh,
of his posts, but I feel
right.
like
No,
he's kind of leaning into
Oh,
things.
Jericho loves to fuck with people. We know that. He loves to build intrigue for whatever his next move is going to be. At this point, it wouldn't surprise me if the Wednesday after WrestleMania he shows back up on Dynamite, because that would be the big Tony Khan, Chris Jericho, AEW, fuck you, just kind of ruin some part of the build to WrestleMania by having people constantly think, oh, this is the week Jericho's showing up, this is the week Jericho's showing up,
Yeah,
and then he never does.
Jericho is gonna show up to answer Brock Lesnar's challenge at WrestleMania.
Well, they also have a shoot incident that they can reference as part of their history. There might have been more than one, because Jericho's an idiot.
Any sane person would be scared for their lives about anything involving Brock Lesnar, but
Yeah. Oh dear.
and
But yeah,
rightfully
no,
so.
Danhausen, not exactly maybe what a number of people were wanting. And debuting him like that probably didn't do him any favors. But I will give him credit. The next night on Raw, his segment with Adam Pearce and the Judgment Day, it actually got a laugh out of me.
I do enjoy myself some Danhausen. It's gonna be a really weird fit in the 'cause I like you said, like he already had a segment with Adam Pearce. I felt like I already saw some, hey, he's an NXT kind of talent, and in some ways I agree, just because they don't have, other than R-Truth, there aren't a whole lot of wacky skits
Right.
on WWE proper TV. And it was kind of interesting that they are already set. Honestly, he, you know, he, on Monday Night Raw, he cursed one Dominic Mysterio, who then, not to give too much away here, but hey, you know, it's all connected. You know, he curses Dominic Mysterio backstage. He then proceeds to lose to Penta. Coughs up the Intercontinental Championship.
I mean, it that is, and when that happened, I was already kind of thinking, Penta's already lost to Dom so many times. I don't understand. I don't know what the point of having him do it again. So maybe he's winning, but
Well,
also, it's that part about WrestleMania build being unfocused and just Triple H just kind of doing things just to do them. We've been telling this story with Dom and Finn for over a year now. We're right to WrestleMania, and you would think the two of them having a one-on-one match for the Intercontinental title would be the idea. Instead, we don't know what's really still going on with those guys. And now we've got Penta, who spectacularly over, kind of was underutilized last year, quite a lot last year, because he kind of got over, quickly and surprisingly to, I think, to some people. So they didn't really have great plans for him.
They had like the first couple of feuds planned out, and then it seemed like they started scratching their heads after, you know, maybe the third feud. They're like, what do we do now? This guy, like you said, this guy is wildly over. He doesn't fit in the main championship mix, and all around, this is all kind of weird. You
Yeah,
know, like you
'cause
said, like
he.
he had not been cooking a lot recently. I'm not saying that
No.
obviously he didn't He still was getting a pretty good reaction, but as I guess the only guy I can think of that's like him is he's kind of had an LA Knight kind of syndrome.
There's some comparison there, and again, we don't know where LA Knight stands going heading into WrestleMania, and we'll get into all that in a bit here.
Yeah, we
But
yeah.
for Penta, okay, now we've put the Intercontinental on someone who had. We're starting from scratch here to build an Intercontinental title match at WrestleMania. Basically, he has no feuds going. He has not. I mean, they did the thing where he was confronted in the back by the both El Grande Americanos, but I don't know. I don't know about any of that as a WrestleMania match because this El Grande Americano feud might be getting over like gangbusters in AAA, but in front of WWE US crowds, it's not exactly lighting anybody's world on fire.
No, I mean, personally, it is definitely not doing a whole lot for me. Like,
Yeah.
it's
They're
just
just,
gotten weird at this
yes,
point. You're not a good weird.
it's gotten weird, and it's just what they're doing isn't funny. Like these storylines can be more lighthearted. They can add some humor to the show, but they're not really doing that. They're both playing it so seriously, and Kaiser's El Grande Americano isn't even dressing in red, white, and blue gear anymore. So it's just like, what's even going on here?
I have no idea. And I, in some ways, you're just like, why would Chad Gable come back just as that?
Yeah, we haven't actually seen Chad Gable. We haven't seen the Creeds or Ivy Nile get involved at all. It's been a very strange situation, and I hope that they don't have all the two of them converging with Penta for WrestleMania. The other
Oh.
problem for Penta is if they want to go for a triple threat match in the other in the more logical direction with Dom and Finn, well. Guess what? The Intercontinental Title match, Championship match at WrestleMania last year. Remember what this Intercontinental Championship match at WrestleMania last year was? The three of them in a four-way with Bron Breakker.
Oh my gosh.
That's when Dom won the title.
Oh, I will admit to of having forgotten about that in between.
So we're not even doing going and doing any. If we do have him still stick around feuding with Dom and Finn. Yeah, so yeah, I'm not totally sure what we do with this. There's a number of people who are over, who are featured acts on this show still, on these shows still, who I don't see what they're I'm not seeing what the WrestleMania direction is going to be.
Yeah, 'cause I maybe a little bit got filled in on Raw, I would say. I feel like we might have some type of a Vision tag team matchup.
They might, maybe they'll go in that direction, because even that, because if you do like some six man street walking brawl street fight type thing with, well, I don't even know because both Usos are involved, LA Knight's involved, Seth Rollins is involved, and technically there's only two healthy members of the
Yeah, they really
Vision.
are down entirely too many
Yeah, and if
participants.
Breaker gets back, it's going to be a photo finish, and I imagine they still want to do him and Rollins as a single.
Yeah, but you can, I mean, that's one of those. Okay, if you start him off in a six man tag match,
Might be able to do something.
it's a
You
good
might
way to
again. I'm not,
start
again.
things rolling.
It's maybe one of those one that's maybe the again because you don't know have to know every match 7 weeks out. But you want to be
Oh.
planting the seeds 7 weeks out at least.
Yeah, it really is one of those usually you at least see the outline a little bit,
Yeah.
or at least some type of direction, and it's yeah, we're still lacking that for a lot of matchups where
Right.
there's just absolutely nothing in sight.
Yeah. Well, That all that probably also covers our next, our next match from Elimination Chamber. CM Punk beat Finn Balor as everyone thought he was going to. Technically good match, but I couldn't care. Like, it was such a foregone conclusion. It was not holding my attention.
And I, yeah, there's nothing more to say. Like that it really is all that there was to that
I
matchup.
mean, the match was Punk's entrance, basically. It was an excuse for Punk to do the Bulls entrance. That's pretty much it.
That was pretty cool.
That was cool. I did like that. That was a good
'Cause
moment.
that was one of those things that I'm just like, why is this? Like, it was one of those things that subconsciously I knew what it was, but I needed Michael Cole to remind me what it was.
And they got the actual announcer from back then, who, still alive. Good for him. He's got to be pretty old
I
now. Yeah,
One would imagine if you're announcing in the 80s, like even if you were young at that time, you are not young anymore.
no.
Speaking from experience in that department. I guess moving along to the men's elimination chamber then. Like we kind of mentioned it a little bit in passing here. I suppose it requires a full going over. 'Cause we got it was pretty easy to have this one narrowed down. Even the wife had this one narrowed down to Randy Orton or Cody Rhodes coming into this thing. I think that was a pretty easy bet. How things shook out, I suppose, were a little more interesting because like you kind of talked about it with the women's matchup, whereas something with this matchup where I'm like, oh, I can see where they're going with this.
Yeah, I mean,
And
because they made sure that the two main angles were set up, coming out of it. And yes,
okay.
they kind of sacrificed the sanctity of the match a little bit, but with the door shenanigans, there was no reason for that door to be open as long as it was.
Yeah, I mean, there was a handwritten invitation on that door opening for no reason at all. Like they, what's his name, just really couldn't get out. Who was just really laboring to get out of the ring that left that door open for like
Wasn't
5 years?
it LA Knight?
I think it was LA Knight.
LA Knight. I wish I remembered like every spot that
So.
happened, but I really don't. Logan Paul gets to eliminate the other three guys in the match who were just there
Well,
not to
it,
win.
and that was the one where I feel like you're setting up an angle. I like that he gets to pin all three of those guys, but then I'm
He
like, hold
does.
on, what does it, like in the long run though, after I watched it, I'm like, well, what's this do for him really?
He could be in a six-man tag. He could be in a tag team championship match with Austin Theory against the Usos. He can end up wrestling Seth Rollins if Bron Breakker can't. He's what I believe had was this was this has been the plan for a while. Bron Breakker was supposed to be the guy who annihilated three people before Seth Rollins showed up. Then it was supposed to be Bronson Reed. That ended up having to be Logan Paul, which is why they had to take Jey Uso out, because the whole plan all along was for a member of the Vision to go on that run and be taken out by Seth Rollins, who was going to unmask as the real masked man. After the subterfuge that got security and referees away from the ring with one of his, again, probably another one of his students, was a little, that was a little that was a little wink and a nod that turned out, Indy Russell, Seth Rollins' students. Oh, okay, I guess that's not gonna be an important detail. And then yes, that so 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 that's so that takes out Logan Paul, and then Drew McIntyre. While the door is still open, Drew McIntyre gets in, whacks Cody over the head with a belt, and gets in the ring. We really don't get much in the way, anything really in the way of action between Orton and Cody here.
No.
Both Orton and both. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Other than an RKO.
Yes. That was after, Drew McIntyre ended up taking both of their finishes to take him out of this equation, but it still,
Yep.
distracted. Cody Rhodes takes an RKO. Randy Orton, in a nod to their earlier match, hesitated back in their match. Well, I think it was like in June or what have you. I think that was in Saudi. But
Oh, yes.
of course, when Randy Orton saw his opening, he took it. He had no hesitation. He dropped his friend with an RKO, pinned him. Randy Orton is guaranteed his slot going into WrestleMania, but not guaranteed his slot going into WrestleMania. Drew McIntyre, as an angry Nick Aldis, decided that he was going to make Cody Rhodes a match between Drew McIntyre and Cody Rhodes, official for Friday Night SmackDown. This framing of Cody as the office's boy who gets all these extra chances is not helping.
Yeah, it's becoming the only thing I can think of is a Charlotte situation,
Yeah, it
you
is.
know,
And
where you
we
just
keep.
feel like the favoritism is so heavy, whether it's
Yes. Yeah,
planned or
Charlotte.
not,
Or
it
2010's Roman Reigns. Yeah.
oof.
It's all there with Cody. And wasn't there to why the last year. It probably was started towards the. Toward, in, so they went toward WrestleMania last year, but it's gotten really apparent now. It's like, I mean, they are bound and determined that Cody Rhodes has to be in the championship match at WrestleMania, even if it makes no sense to make it a three-way, four-way, or whatever. It makes. It's mind-boggling at this point, and that reports keep saying that they have no intention of turning him heel. I'm not sure I believe that. I think they might be trying to turn the temperature down on some of that talk so that when it actually happens, it's more of a surprise since everyone's just talking about it like it's something that has to happen. But if they really are bound and determined to keep him a babyface, this is not the way to go around about it. I'm still hoping against hope that, it's pretty obvious the match between Cody and Drew is going to end in a very screwy fashion. You have Jacob Fatu showing up because he's mad at that Cody's getting this match and he's not, and then Orton can get involved. And I'm just hoping against hope they decide against going for a multiple person match, and they just have Cody and Jacob Fatu go off on their own thing for now. I really want this to stay singles, but. I'm not holding my breath about it.
Yeah, that is kind of the wild thing with Cody, is that he really can have an important match without having the championship at this point.
He really can, and it's time for it. Even Roman Reigns had his filler era
Yeah, the
of
last two
non-title feuds, and it was
years.
fine. And yes,
Yeah,
and.
last 2 years he's been perfectly fine in the feuds that he's been in.
Yes, it's been perfectly fine. You have to fill time. Everyone has to fill time. There were times John Cena had to fill time. There were times Brock Lesnar had to fill time, even though he, obviously would go away for longer stretches of time. Everyone, Hulk Hogan had to fill time between title reigns.
It happens
Why
to
can't we keep
everyone.
right? Why can't we keep Cody Rhodes out of the title for? Picture for 6 months or so, or it's just, and again, we'll see what happens. We'll see. I mean, I'm no matter what it is, if it is a multiple person match and Cody's involved, I mean, it's pretty much a lock. Randy Orton's getting the lion's share of the cheers from that crowd, and then they're just gonna have to deal with that.
Yeah, everyone's still gonna be pulling for Randy. No matter
Yes.
who's involved in that one, if Randy does not have the championship by then, he will be by far the favorite to win that one.
Right, exactly.
So yeah, having Cody Rhodes involved is not gonna help his situation at all. It's rather going to do the opposite.
Yeah, I agree.
So we kind of referenced it a little bit, but did we really do a full on CM Punk Roman Reigns talking segment breakdown here?
No, we did not. We
So,
can. We can right now.
Because I, well, Elimination Chamber's over. We've at least hit some of the other pieces of Raw here. And again, there has in fact been some long-term booking with this one.
Yeah, there has that. They committed to this thing, by the Royal Rumble, and there and nothing's gonna. Nothing within their power is going to happen to stop this. And I would wrap both of these guys, especially CM Punk and bubble wrap, and not have them do much physical, or certainly not have any kind of matches in the next 6 weeks.
As much as they tried to do the Finn Balor could ruin the WrestleMania picture, the dream matchup between CM Punk and Roman Reigns, really injury during that match was the only real concern.
Right. Yes. This match really, it was the whole, the premise was kind of silly that CM Punk is supposed to not defend his championship for nearly 3 months before WrestleMania to protect the main event. But this is a main event that needs to be protected. This is by far the biggest match of the whole weekend. And yeah, it does need to be protected now.
We really are done monkeying around here.
Yeah.
It does make sense to have had one championship
Yes,
matchup
it
in
did.
between
Yes,
them.
it definitely did. But yes, now, but now, yeah, it's time to get serious about this. And you guys do have to recognize CM Punk does have a history, and a body that's, getting older every day. So let's not tempt any. Let's not tempt much fate here. The two of them, though, they have certainly a lot to say to each other, and it's not nice.
I mean, the fangs came out pretty quick on that one.
They did.
I always roll my eyes in the you're gonna end up dead like your daddy lines. Roman Reigns
That was
sold it
a.
though.
Yeah, he definitely did, and then it was, it kind of came a bit out of nowhere, but yeah, no. I mean,
Yeah, things escalated quickly.
in a situation, and again, this show needs heat. This thing needs. We know what direction we're going in with this thing. We're going to point out all the ways these two really don't like each other, how different they are. They got into the idea that. The Shield was CM Punk's idea, but Roman Reigns being in it was not his idea.
Oh, yep, that I was like, not that I've really looked into the formation of the
Oh,
Shield
yeah, it was it actually was
logistics
Chris.
before,
Yeah,
honestly.
I think it was actually Chris Hero who Punk wanted, because then it would have been all guys he knew from the Indies. But Vince McMahon wanted his, pet project, the big Samoan guy in there, and history has proven Vince McMahon right about that one many times over.
Yeah, that was a good call by Vince on that one.
Definitely,
As
yeah,
much as
gotta get the doubles due on
it, yeah,
that
as
one.
much as I like Chris Hero, I Vince made the right call,
Yes, he did. And again, they
so.
and Reigns kind of making fun of, Punk's fans being 30-year-old virgins, and it was just, once again, it's just, they can hit each other with a lot of stuff, and it's good stuff. It's a big match. It really feel it's something that they don't even have to work, maybe. From a company standpoint, they don't really have to push it that hard, although saying, one of the biggest matches of all time. It's just like you don't need to just lay out. Just let them cut into each other. Let them do the work
Yeah.
here. You don't need to go to and we don't need to go into announcer hyperbole mode here. Just let them do what they do.
Yeah, sometimes the hyperbole just takes away from the practical greatness of it. And it's just like, yeah, guys, just leave it alone. Just let it breathe. Like that's all it needs to do here. Like we don't need to gild the lily. So yeah. Hey, yeah, they definitely get a bit guilty of that. So yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was a good starting point. I'm not sure, we're not gonna have a whole lot of interaction here in the next 7 weeks, I bet you we have a handful of face-to-faces. We might end up with some type of a tag match in between.
They might make them, yeah. You could have them team up
Just
against,
because the
whoever.
Usos were at least referenced in the situation, you could have the
Yeah, the
whole,
youth.
hey, we're conflicted, he's our cousin, but we're good with you, Punk, kind of setup going on there. So yeah, there's enough to stretch that thing out, but there's also like not too much that they need to do with it overall either. Like I feel like that promo set the table for pretty much the whole thing, and yeah, you're not really going to need to overdo too much of that moving forward here.
No, not really.
So, boy, as far as Raw goes, first matchup, and I suppose there's some things to talk about. Gunther definitely looks like a name with nothing to do on this WrestleMania
Yes,
card at the current moment.
that's definitely one of the big ones. Yes, and he, I didn't like how much Dragon Lee got on him. I really don't. I know Dragon Lee isn't a jobber or anything, but when Dragon Lee got up and started really fighting back after all those power bombs, I was just like, oh, come on, this is bull. I literally, I actually yelled out bullshit. I'm like, come on.
Well, will you be shocked to learn still only a 6 minute match?
That's insane.
I don't know if I would have thought it was too much offense from Dragon Lee. I definitely thought the match probably went longer than I expected it to. So I've got to admit that I'm even surprised by the 6 minute time frame, because
That's
if
wild.
you would have sold me on 8, I would have been like, oh, okay, yep, that sounds about right to me.
Yeah. I mean, if Dragon Lee got on all his offense before Gunther cut him off and just started power bombing him into oblivion, I'd been fine with it. But the power bomb to the
Oh,
apron, the power bomb on the desk, I'm like,
yeah, now
Dragon Lee
you
should
made
not be
a
getting up from that
comeback.
shit. Yeah,
Yeah.
it just made it seem like too hard of a match for Gunther. And of course, yeah, Gunther took his mask off and choked him out, and like, okay, if we're doing things with, Lucha guys and masks, when I mentioned it last week with Jeremy, it's like maybe Rey Mysterio was a guy Gunther could face, but again, we didn't really
Oh.
get anything. Rey didn't show up. We didn't get any teases of that, or Gunther versus Penta for the get Gunther back for the Intercontinental. But yeah, I don't know. I like that either. We've been doing this again. Like, we're following up Gunther ending the careers of John Cena and AJ Styles here. He really should have something bigger at WrestleMania.
And I mean, he doesn't seem like a logical guy. Although you could definitely sell me on it, but I would think that you'd want to build for it. If he went out and retired Brock Lesnar, that would be hilarious. You know
That
what I
would
mean?
be.
Like that would be a story that you could tell, but I'd want you to tell that story rather than him being Brock Lesnar's
Yeah.
surprise opponent at WrestleMania.
Well, I don't think it's going to be a surprise opponent. I think we'll know within, I think they said, think that Paul Heyman showed the graphic that says Brock will be back on the 16th. So we might know
Oh.
by then. It gives us some time with it, but it does feel like also like it should be like a Brock should be a face going into that, and as long as he's with Heyman, he's not.
Oh.
But I mean,
Yeah.
it's still possible that you could do that. I mean, the talk has been for a while that since SummerSlam's in Minneapolis, and that's Brock's college alma mater at least. It's kind of sold
Yeah.
as his hometown, even though his hometown is some farm in North
North
Dakota or
Dakota?
whatever,
Yeah.
North Dakota or South Dakota, I think. Yeah, and
Yeah.
then he moved to freaking Saskatchewan from there. So, but so okay, Minneapolis is good enough, I guess. So that might be where Brock actually retires, but I guess you don't need to have him retire. I guess he could win the he win a first match against Gunther at WrestleMania if you need to play it like that.
Oh.
But I'm not thinking that. I'm not thinking that is Gunther's spot for now.
Oh, yeah,
I do I.
it doesn't seem like something to me that's in the book. That was more
Yeah, yeah. As
throwing
long as they're both heels,
shit at
yeah.
the
I don't
wall on my
yeah, as
part.
long as they're both heels, I'm not seeing that. But yeah, I'm not really seeing. Everything I've heard about Mysterio is he's not planning on retiring anytime soon. And Cody Rhodes did make a point that we've gone to the well essentially 2 months in a row of having everyone come out on the stage, come around the ring, clapping, crying, it's kind of a downer to just keep
No.
to do this to do these so quickly after each other.
Yeah, that was one where it was kind of interesting when AJ Styles already posting about hey, yeah, I'm enjoying life after wrestling. My kid's doing my hair.
Yeah.
And also, him going, hey, I came in at the Royal Rumble. I decided to go out at the Royal Rumble. And I'm kind of like, you know what? Hey, if you wanted to work with that symmetry, go for it, man.
Yeah.
Like, it was something that I hadn't really thought about, honestly, going into it. But I'm like, oh, okay. Like, yeah, that works for me. That's definitely a little bit of a in hindsight situation, but it is a downer though to just have him keep on retiring people.
Yeah, and it's definitely limiting because when does he stop? When does he go for championships again? When does he feel with someone who's old his own age or younger?
It's a lot of good questions that were not answered on Raw. I think everyone knew that Dragon Lee was not going to be a long-term feud. Gunther still wide open for WrestleMania, as far
Yes,
as we
he's one of
know.
the.
Asuka, Kairi Sane, backstage segment, AJ Lee, really pumping up therapy after that. AJ Lee coming out and looking for fresh challengers. We kind of scuffed over this a little bit, how we thought that it would end up back to Becky and AJ. Original El Grande Americano versus Rio. Oof, okay, yeah, we talked about them enough already too,
Yes, we
didn't
did. Yes,
we?
we did. Yes, we
Oh
did. We
my
definitely
gosh.
did.
Well, I guess we need to talk about this. Definitely not making it to WrestleMania, in my opinion. Obafemi versus Rusev.
No, we're getting that out of the way next week. Yeah. It's you know what? It's a good it Rusev is a good opponent for Rusev to work his way up through from, you know, The Miz, from God, Kit Wilson, you know, those types.
Oh.
Yeah, so, you know, beat a bigger guy, you know, get these Oba chants going, because I'm pretty sure that when, yeah, we talked about it, but we just talked about it, but when Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar return, or maybe just Brock Lesnar returns, because we haven't talked about what happened to Heyman. We'll get back to that. I
Oh,
have a
yeah.
feeling when Brock's ready to make his next open, his to the next challenge for WrestleMania, those Oba chants are going to start getting more, start getting overwhelming. This
He really is the next logical pick. You know, like I know I threw out Gunther like 5 minutes ago. There's not a whole lot of, to me, sexy picks to have Lesnar go against other than Obafemi.
No, it feels, you know, they teased it in the Royal Rumble.
You know,
It feels
like
right. It feels right. Yeah.
the 'cause the only other I guess unaccounted for big names that are to me at least big enough body to go against Brock Lesnar. I mean, you could do the LA Knight if you wanted to.
You could, and now that you could. And now that Paul Heyman has been injured at the hands of Seth Rollins and all that, it's been long enough since the last Brock Lesnar Seth Rollins one-on-one match. If you want, you
Oh.
know, Lesnar to be Heyman's gun for hire in that situation, you could do LA Knight again, because LA Knight's been running afoul of the Vision and Heyman. Yeah,
Oh.
there are other things you can do, but I think people have gotten the Obafemi thing in their heads. Maybe I'm wrong about how over Obafemi is, and is it does it seems maybe to depend on the market a little bit.
Well, yeah, and I
The
mean,
Oba fans are
he's
deafening some places, but maybe some places they're not.
Yeah, I'd have to take a better listen,
Yeah.
honestly. I feel like he's doing okay for himself.
Yeah, definitely.
Not quite sure how wildly over he is though, one way or the other, honestly. But you know, yeah, just kind of physical wise, there just aren't a lot of good options for Brock, really, that are fresh,
No,
you know,
not really, no.
because yeah, I mean, you really can do the Seth Rollins thing, and like you said, there's been enough time, but it still isn't 100% fresh.
No,
So,
no.
yeah. So Oba Rusev should be a good matchup. I would imagine, kind of in a similar vein, I guess Rusev can be that whole Sheamus type character when Sheamus isn't around.
Yeah.
You know, tough veteran that's always a hard out.
Makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, I mean both Lyra and Bayley ended up in the
They're
Intercontinental
yeah, they're gonna be in
six-way
yeah,
mat
yeah,
gauntlet match.
yeah. Yeah, they'll be in the gauntlet.
So yeah, just another one weird where that women's tag team division was cooking, and then all of a sudden, they decided to take that whole thing off the plate,
Yeah,
and
yeah.
none of the teams are together now. So it's
Yeah,
r really
and
strange.
the titles that can the title holders that can float to every show just disappeared after they win the tag belts, so we won't see them again presumably until Friday.
And then yeah, it does look like yeah, the Paul Yeah, the Paul Heyman segment is the only thing to really talk about.
Yeah, it was
Left on
definitely,
the list here.
yeah. I mean, and other than the main talking segment with, with Roman and Punk, and maybe somewhere on the same level of the Intercontinental title change. This certainly the highlight of the show, the big moment of, Seth Rollins getting his hands on Paul Heyman. He laid him out with a hit him with a he had to use a chair to hit Paul Heyman in the back. That was just he just did it just because he could, and then gets him to
Well, they
stomp.
did. That was another one where the announcers did give us the synergy reason for that because,
Yes, that was
A,
the
I guess I did not realize that the Shield both was introduced in Indianapolis and broke up in Indianapolis.
I think that's true. Yeah. Yes. Oh, so yeah, Seth hitting somebody in the back with a chair. Yeah. That's
That was, I'm like, oh, that is wild how those both ended up happening in the same place. Like that they actually timed it out that happened.
yeah. No, that's cool.
And it is kind of interesting just because Paul Heyman does not take a lot of bumps.
No, and for obvious reasons.
There are some very
I
obvious
was
reasons.
worried he was not going to be able to perform that push up into the position to even take the stomp.
Oh man. And he really laid on the Keller there
Yes, he
afterwards.
did. Yes, and then he gets carted out into an ambulance. Logan Paul and Austin Theory just we're gonna drive follow in a car to the hospital, but apparently on the way to his rental car, we don't know what happened to Logan Paul because Jim Uso was inside of the car to attack Austin Theory, and then it was revealed that LA Knight was in the driver's seat of the ambulance. Where he took Paul Heyman, we don't know. And it was a fun, kind of throwback and 90s style segment. Wish they would have actually followed through on actually following the ambulance around, since that because that would have completed them.
Oh yeah, I saw
Oh, geez, there was no floor.
some Twitter clips of LA Knight running into a wall and blowing up the van.
Yeah.
I was just like, whoa.
Well, he did. Well, they did have dash cam footage of LA Knight in the ambulance that they put on social media. That was pretty funny.
Oh, I did not see that. That's a lot of fun. That is a lot of fun. Oh man. I didn't pull up the report for it because I don't feel like there's anything else to talk about with the WWE unless there's something on your plate that I am forgetting
Nope.
there. Did
I am
you
good with
watch AEW Collision?
that. No, I did not.
I did manage to fit that in some odd time frames, but
Oh, dear.
yeah. Okay. Well, we'll leave that where it is. Like there's
Okay.
nothing too there's nothing too wild. Like I'm kind of looking at it and it just was what it was. Like I felt like there was some hype going into that one, but I think it was last week's one that was more interesting. So that had all the championship matches. Belltime Beer here from Denver, Colorado, Zuni Street Brewing, Lo-Hi Haze, a hazy IPA. This is one of their standard beers. Should one find themselves in Denver, Colorado, Zuni Street Brewing is very good, and they have a very, very delicious food truck outside of their establishment
Okay.
most evenings. I forget what exactly
Always
what I
love
had, but
that.
it was very, very good. So yeah, Belltime Beer suggestion from Matt DeFranco 11. The brand is at Saint Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Download us at other places like iHeartRadio and YouTube Music. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.